Greetings and welcome to worship at Peace Lutheran Church on a beautiful Sunday morning, and an opportunity for us to experience the presence of Christ among us. And we continue on this journey with Jesus to Jerusalem in this section in Luke's Gospel. So he's already set his face to Jerusalem, and throughout this journey to Jerusalem, a lot of things happen, healings and stories and encounters. And today we hear the story of Jesus sending 70 persons out, two by two. So what does that mean for us who follow in the footsteps of those who have gone before us?
A reading from Isaiah. Those who returned from the exile found that the hopes for the glorious restoration of Judah were not completely fulfilled. For these disappointed people, the prophet envisioned salvation in the image of a nursing woman. Mother Jerusalem and a mothering God remind the community how they are sustained and supported. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her. All you who love her, rejoice with her in joy. All you who mourn over her, that you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breast, that you may drink deeply with delight from her glorious bosom. For thus says the Lord, I will extend prosperity to her like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall nurse and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knees. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. You shall see, and your heart shall rejoice. Your bodies shall flourish like the grass, and it shall be known that the hand of the Lord is with his servants, and his indignation is against his enemies. Word of God, word of life.
Gospel according to Luke, the 10th chapter. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. Jesus said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, say first, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you.' Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me." The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us." Jesus said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God, who meets us as our Creator, as Jesus Christ, our crucified and risen Savior, and as Holy Spirit, who gathers and inspires us for mission and ministry. Amen. How many of you know about a woman named Donna Dina Cameron? Anybody here know about Donna Dina Cameron? Okay, not surprising. Or have you ever heard of a place called Cameron House? Okay. Well, Cameron House is a Presbyterian ministry. Not Lutheran, Presbyterian, located in San Francisco, Chinatown. Cameron House is a multi-service social and Christian agency serving the Asian community in Chinatown and around San Francisco, providing programs and services that support healthy communities and families. Obviously, Cameron House is named after Donna Dina Cameron, who lived around, 1869 through 1968, almost 100 years old. She was a Presbyterian missionary who advocated for social justice. A family friend, Mary P.D. Brown, the former president of the Women's Occidental Board of Foreign Missionaries, how do you like that name? Okay, took Donna Dina to the Presbyterian home, that's what it was known previously, Presbyterian home, in an effort to expose Donna Dina to the world around her. Think about that, being exposed to the world around her, which meant that, Donna Dina Cameron was a very ordinary person like the rest of us. And at the Presbyterian home, Donna Dina met Margaret Culbertson and became a sewing instructor. Peacemakers, right? Think about that, a sewing instructor. And started as a sewing teacher in 1895 for a one-year term. Culbertson and the Presbyterian home acted as a place of refuge for, get this, freed indentured female Chinese servants, where they could be safe from the outside world and get an education. One needs to keep in mind that when we talk about human trafficking, that was happening at that time with Chinese females, because they excluded, there was a thing called the Immigration Exclusion Act, and just can't get back to China and need females here in the United States. So there was trafficking of indentured female Chinese servants. Donna Dina Cameron decided to stay on and continue to work to free and support indentured female Chinese servants. In 1897, she became the superintendent of the Presbyterian House at the age of 25. She had this practice of following the police raids throughout Chinatown and portions of San Francisco, and even spent a night in a San Jose jail to seek the release of a Chinese woman. Criminal organizations called her, get this, Jesus Woman. How would you like to be known as Jesus Woman or Jesus Man, huh? Chinese women nicknamed her Loma, which meant foster mother. She was also called the Angry Angel of Chinatown. However, one needs to point out that Donna Dina Cameron was not a perfect woman. She was very paternalistic, imposed her will and her ways on these Chinese women. However, she rescued and educated more than 3,000 Chinese immigrant girls and women during her ministry in San Francisco from 1895 to 1934. In 1942, the Presbyterian home was renamed the Donna Dina Cameron House, and it is a model of what it means to be a church-related social service agency in a local neighborhood. A number of my fellow Presbyterian colleagues, I think, it's about When I was on the church-wide staff, 17 Chinese males became Presbyterian pastors as a result of this ministry at the Donadina Cameron House in San Francisco, Chinatown. So Donadina Cameron is remembered as a Christian missionary sent to San Francisco, Chinatown. However, she didn't know that that would be the case when she started on a one-year term as a sewing instructor. When God needs something to be done, have you noticed that God usually sends whom? God sends people. Abraham and then Sarah were sent to a promised land. Noah and his family, well, they were on a voyage to save humanity and, of course, animals, two by two. Joseph was eventually sent to Egypt to save people from a famine, especially the Hebrews. Moses and his brother Aaron, even though Moses didn't want to go, were sent to Egypt to free the Hebrews from slavery. And of course, there's this long list of prophets: Elijah, Elisha, Samuel, Nathan, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, and so on and so forth. The list goes on. And were sent to various places to speak on God's behalf. God sent Jesus to the world to express God's love and to save all humanity and all of creation. God then sent out his disciples. Jesus then sent out his disciples and his followers to proclaim and share the good news of God's kingdom, of God's love, and God's reconciliation as expressed in the person and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, sending people out is an integral part of our Christian tradition, our Christian practice, and our Christian identity. The word missionary means a person who has been sent out. Today's reading from Luke tells the story of 70 followers who were sent out ahead of Jesus to towns where he planned to visit. They were like, shall we say, an advance team sent to prepare the way for Jesus. This story from Luke provides us a glimpse of what it means for us who follow Jesus to be sent out. Like the 70, we are sent out ahead of Jesus, and we prepare the way for Jesus. It is Jesus who changes people, not us. It is Jesus who opens eyes, hearts, and minds, thereby making faith possible. We prepare a path for that to happen. We are the seeds. We provide a relationship by which Jesus uses to connect with people. We become that interface. We are the physical means for Jesus to be able to do his work with us and with the people we meet and connect with. We have the capacity to incarnate and be the face of Jesus for our neighbors and for every person that we meet in our daily affairs. And when we think about being sent out, there's much work to be done. Jesus stated, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his field." So it doesn't bother me if someone wants to plant another church. There's plenty to harvest when you think about it. Jesus wants to reach out and touch all people. It isn't restricted to any group of folks. It is Jesus wants to reach and touch all people. Jesus needs us to be a conduit for his presence. Jesus works best among people who reach out and touch other people. Invitation, relationships, people to people is where people best experience Jesus. We are the laborers that Jesus needs for the harvest. However, we all know that this work isn't easy. Like the 70, we will encounter folks who welcome us and folks who won't welcome us. We will be like lambs being sent into the midst of wolves. Did you listen to hear that? We'll be like lambs sent in the midst of wolves. I remember when I was a pastor developer going door to door on the east side of San Jose in the Evergreen neighborhood. I would knock, and I didn't know what I would expect when I knocked on that door. And I got a wide range of expressions. Some folks said, "Oh my gosh, a Lutheran church being coming here. I'm a Lutheran in background." Others say, "I'm a Roman Catholic." And then I would ask them, "Do you know Father, or can you tell me who the priest is?" I knew the name of the local priest. And they couldn't name the name of the priest. And I said, "Okay, well, you're a practicing Roman Catholic. I understand." Yeah. And I would point out that we have a Lutheran congregation that we were redeveloping in the San Jose area. And you know, and I have any number of stories where kids would come to the door and they would tell me Well, they would tell me something about that their parents were not available, and I would say, oh, okay. So anyway, it was an interesting thing. Didn't know what to expect. And then there were others that says, I go to church, shut the door. Okay? Or others that say, I'm a Mormon. Or I really don't believe and I don't care to hear. So, okay. But it was interesting, knocking on doors and not knowing who, what was going to be on the other side of the door. And in today's world, well, you got to be really careful. I mean, I wore my clerics. I always took a step back after the person answered the door, and I looked around just to be sure that it's safe to talk to this person. But regardless of the welcome, we are Christ's presence. And we proclaim and make known to everyone that the kingdom of God has come near. I mean, and that's something to remember. Jesus wanted to share that message with those who welcomed his followers and those who didn't welcome his followers. Everybody is to hear that the kingdom of God is near. And that kingdom means that Jesus is here. Love is possible. Hope is still available. Reconciliation is still there. People can come together and be together and work together. In other words, we have good news for everyone, for all people. Through Jesus Christ, everyone can experience the kingdom of God. Through Jesus, we can experience a God who is gracious, merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Through Jesus, people can be changed and transformed. Just speak to anyone who's going through Alcoholics Anonymous, or all of us when we confess our sins and we are forgiven, people's lives are being changed. Through Jesus, we can be in relationship with God and each other. Community is possible. I mean, just look around you. Community is possible, and we can all be neighbors to each other. For us who are followers and disciples of Jesus Christ, another way of saying this is, if Jesus makes a difference in your life, then show it. We have good news for our neighbors, and we have to show it to make it known. We can all together experience the kingdom of God. Now, like the 70, we are being sent out now. You will notice that there is no overnight lodging for the congregation at the Peace Lutheran Church facility. We just don't convert pews into futons. They're not convertible sofas. It would be nice, but no, it just doesn't work that way. We don't provide you with overnight lodging. I mean, if you really want to sleep on the hard floor out in the atrium, but no, that's not what we're here for. No. Instead, at the end of the worship service, we have a dismissal, and you know it well. You know, it begins like this: go in peace, Christ is sending you. And of course, you have your usual response, right? Thanks be to God, we are called by Christ, gathered to grow, and get this, sent to serve. Alleluia. One of the purposes of worship is to send us out into the world to make Jesus known. There are congregations that have a sign, you know, when one exits, you know what it says? It says, the worship now begins. You know, worship is just not just here in these four walls. It's where two or three are gathered in Jesus' name. Bang, that's worship. Wherever we go, we take worship with us in the presence. We gather to scatter. We gather to support each other. We gather to be nourished by Jesus' love and forgiveness. We gather to experience God's kingdom and to be transformed. We gather to be reminded that we go out together and we are never alone. There is an instruction manual that was used in the early church known as the Didache. And one of the ways that the Didache describes the church is it's like parts of the big loaf of bread come together, and when we gather for worship, we form a loaf of bread. Or in other words, my way of saying is we are the crumbs that come together and form a loaf, right? And then, you know what that means? When the worship is done, or when we go forth, all those crumbs go out and take the loaf with us into the world. And then the following time we get together for worship, again, we form that loaf of bread. That's why we share every Sunday Holy Communion. The Roman Catholic Church has a word to describe worship. And you know what that word is. It's what? Liturgy. It's also the Mass. And, you know, the root word for Mass is missio, to be sent. In other words, the purpose of that receiving bread and wine, the purpose of the hearing the word, the purpose of preaching, the purpose of all that we are doing here is to be nourished so that we can be sent out That's what the purpose of the Mass has always been, to be sent. We are sent to share the good news of what we have experienced and to be reminded again and again and again that the kingdom of God has come near. Jesus was sent into the world to save us. Jesus now sends us into the world to express God's mercy, love, grace, and forgiveness for all people. We carry Jesus with us so that we can be Christ for others. Martin Luther liked to describe Christians as little Christs. And like the 70, we can be little Christs for each other and for the people we meet. St. Teresa de Avila stated, "Christ has no body now on earth but yours, no hands but yours, no feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which is to look out Christ's compassion to the world. Yours are the feet with which he is to go about doing good. Yours are the hands with which he is blessed now." The Evangelical Lutheran Church in America's tagline summarizes St. Teresa de Avila's words in this way: God's work, our hands. That's why we want you to buy a t-shirt, so you can say, God's work, our hands. I mean, God has worked. God works through us. We offer our hands. Isn't that what it's about? I conclude with these two thoughts for your consideration. Martin Luther wrote, "Just as our neighbor is in need and lacks that in which we abound, so we were in need before God and lacked his mercy. Hence, as our Heavenly Father has in Christ freely come to our aid, we also ought freely to help our neighbor through our body and its works. And each one should become, as it were, Christ to the other, that we may be Christ to one another, and Christ may be the same in all, that is, that we may be truly Christians." And a prayer from the Iona Abbey worship book. O Christ, you are within each of us. It is not just the interior of these walls. It is our own inner being that you have renewed. We are your temple, not made with hands. We are your body. If every wall should crumble and every church decay, still, we are your habitation. Nearer are you than breathing, closer than hands and feet. Ours are the eyes with which you, in the mystery, look out with compassion on a broken world. Yet we bless you for this place, for your directing of us, your redeeming of us, your indwelling in our hearts. And now take us outside, O Christ, outside the holiness, out to where soldiers curse and nations clash, out into the crossroads of the world. And by so doing, shall this building continue to be justified. All this we ask for your name's sake. Amen.